Nonprofits in a time of no profits. I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, how one woman keeps Spanish speakers across Kansas informed during the coronavirus pandemic.
I mean, I'm trying to keep up the hope with our community.
But first, continuing our series on the coronavirus and the economy. We've heard about the importance of supporting local restaurants and businesses during the coronavirus lockdown, but there's less talk about helping local nonprofits. The Wichita metro area has more than 5,000 nonprofits, and now is when they'd normally be having their biggest fundraising events of the year, galas and bar crawls and shows. But because of COVID-19, those major events have been postponed or canceled. KMUW's Nadia Foe explores how nonprofits are faring during the coronavirus lockdown.
Under normal, meaning non-pandemic circumstances, this Saturday would have been Beauties and Beasts Ball Crawl. The Animal Rescue Group's annual bar crawl through Wichita raises thousands of dollars for spay and neuter services in the area. But because of the coronavirus outbreak, it's been postponed indefinitely, says board member Casey Breedenthal.
We are not able to fundraise right now.
And they're not the only nonprofit struggling with the limitations of the coronavirus lockdown.
That's one of the reasons why I've spent so many years talking to nonprofit organizations about the importance of diversifying their funding.
Cindy Miles is the CEO of the Nonprofit Chamber of Service in Wichita, which assists more than 180 member organizations.
If they're heavily dependent on an event or they're heavily dependent on grant funding and they haven't built a good donor base and have a good variety of sources that they have funding come in from, and something happens to one of their funding streams, it often leaves them devastated.
The Chamber's website has a list of resources, including some new funding sources. But Miles says many of the grants nonprofits could apply for are being redirected to groups directly responding to the COVID-19 crisis. So not spay and neuter services.
Our shifting focus is really going to leave them in a bind.
She says many nonprofits might be reluctant to make direct asks for money right now. It doesn't feel right when people are losing their jobs and worrying about finances themselves.
I am encouraging them to continue on fundraising. I think the community certainly wants to help out.
Miles says there is the possibility that some nonprofits won't survive the shutdown. But she says nonprofits are more essential than ever during times of crisis.
During this time when we have an unemployment rate that's growing, we have all these people out of work and everything, nonprofits are being expected to serve higher and higher and higher amounts of people with less and less and less dollars. And that's kind of a catch-22 for them, because the expectation is that they'll serve, but how do they do that with less people and less dollars?
And for some nonprofits, that might be an impossible task. For The Range, I'm Nadia Foe.
During the pandemic, getting accurate information in a timely manner has been difficult, and for people whose primary language isn't English, the task is that much more complicated. Claudia Morrow is working from her Wichita home, translating information for the state's Spanish speakers. For this month's In the Mix, Carla Eccles spoke with Amara about overcoming the language barrier.
Claudia, you've been reaching out to the Spanish-speaking community using your radio show as well as Facebook. What are you hearing from them?
I heard a lot of people from Southwest Kansas, for example, where they have information in Spanish very limited. And they're really worried because some of the things that they said is that they look at updates on social media and they understand because of the images that something is going on. But it's frustrating for them because they don't know what's happening. They don't know how to proceed. For example, when the state governor gave the stay-at-home order, people in Southwest Kansas were confusing that order with a lockdown. So they were afraid that if they went out, the police was going to stop them and ask them for a letter or something like that. So there's a lot of uncertainty and frustration in our community because people need more information.
And what about education? Now that the schools are closed, what are parents saying as far as online learning for their children?
Well, see, with the business that I perform, I do have a lot of communication with the Spanish-speaking parents. And some of the comments that I've heard and the anxiety that those parents are feeling, it's huge because, first of all, the lack of understanding because of the language differences, and then also just the technology part of it. A lot of our families don't even use an email address, so most of the schools are communicating to parents through email, and that is a problem when they don't have an account. And I know a lot of school districts have provided some devices to their students, but a lot of these parents are relying on their oldest children to help the little ones because, again, they don't have much knowledge about how to use that technology, and the communication is very limited.
How do you go about sharing information about COVID-19?
Since we have a large audience in our Facebook page, social media, and a radio station online. So one of the things that I'm really working hard these days from home is I'm translating as much information as I can. And I'm trying to bring different subjects related to COVID-19, but not necessarily focus on the crisis, but on solutions maybe, like, you know, like the legal aspect of those things, the financial aspect, mental health during COVID-19. So I mean, I'm trying to keep up the hope with our community through the radio show.
That was radio host Claudia Amaro speaking with Carla Echols. In the Mix brings you thoughtful stories about race and culture every month. And one last thing. Cessna Stadium and its predecessor Veterans Field played host to 41 seasons of mostly bad football at Wichita State. The stadium's continued looming presence, more than 35 years after the program dissolved, is a sad reminder of the possibilities of what might have been with a little more success on the field and a little more support in the community. Cessna Stadium will be torn down, but the nagging question will remain, what if? Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show was produced by Stephen Basaha, Nadia Foe, and Luann Stevens. Torn Anderson composed our theme music. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMEW NPR for Wichita.